Today's violence in Iraq follows a deadly week of terrorist incidents elsewhere. Suicide attacks, a bomb factory blown up, gun battles with police, all in the former Soviet Republic of Uzbekistan. More than 40 people died in the deadliest terrorist violence since the Central Asian nation joined the U.S. effort against terrorism in 2001. Uzbek President Islam Karimov blames Muslim militants with international connections, but there may also be homegrown reasons for the unrest. Joining me to talk about the violence in Uzbekistan and its roots is Martha Brill Olcott of the Carnegie Endowment. Welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, who do we think is behind these attacks?
It's likely that remnants of the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan is behind these attacks. The Islamic movement of Uzbekistan was based in Afghanistan at the time of the U.S.-led campaign there, and much of the leadership of the movement was either killed or forced into exile. But we know that their fighters left there and that they have reached back into Uzbekistan to train new recruits.
Now, we know that Uzbekistan is a mainly Muslim country, but religion was severely repressed there during Soviet rule, and there are still limitations on the practice of religion there. Might that be the source of some of the violence we're seeing now?
The question of religion in that society is a very divisive one. A large part of the Uzbek population is entirely secularized, or largely secularized. But throughout Uzbek history, there have been devout Muslim believers, some of whom we would consider moderates, others of whom we would consider radical, even militant. And this government in particular has really targeted anything other than state-controlled moderate Islam. Over the past several years, there have been thousands of people arrested in Uzbekistan for practicing what the state terms radical or extremist Islam. The state still accepts the kind of Soviet-era notion that not only is there separation of religion and the state, but that the state has the responsibility for supervising religious practice. That's really been a point of very serious contention in society.
How much of what the government considers to be the extreme Islamic fundamentalists in the country are actually then organized into some sort of movement?
That's a very difficult question to answer. We think that there are probably up to 20,000 members in Uzbekistan, an illegal movement called the Hizb ut-Tahrir, which is committed to the establishment of an Islamic caliphate, but which maintains that its intention is to do so by nonviolent means. But we also know that people who look like extremists, people with beards, women in full hijab, have been persecuted by the Uzbek state, have been targeted by the Uzbek state for arrest. So it's very hard to know how many people are out there in unorganized religious groups that we would consider to be Islamic fundamentalists.
Is there any kind of an al-Qaeda connection?
There's definitely an al-Qaeda connection between the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan and al-Qaeda. The Islamic movement of Uzbekistan was pushed into exile in the mid-1990s. First, they went to Tajikistan, and then in the late 1990s, they went into Afghanistan and got refuge there. And in that period of time, through connections with the Taliban, they linked up with the al-Qaeda organization. After the U.S.-led campaign in Afghanistan, the remnants of the Islamic movement of Uzbekistan went into hiding with the remnants of al-Qaeda. And so now what you really have is the internationalization of the remnants of the al-Qaeda movement in Afghanistan and in Pakistan.
And something else that happened after the September 11th attacks in 2001 was that the United States moved into an air base in Uzbekistan and used it for operations in Afghanistan. Should we read these attacks as retaliation against the Uzbek government for cooperating with the United States?
The question of retaliation is probably one on a long list of criticisms that Islamic extremists have with the Uzbek government. The IMU had already labeled Karimov as pro-American prior to the opening of this airbase. This airbase certainly doesn't make them any happier. But the agenda against the president really is mostly focused on internal issues, questions of relationship of the state to religion, the social policy of the president, the economic policy of the president. But the fact that he is allied now directly and proudly allied with the U.S. government wouldn't make him any more popular among these people. But they didn't need this as the motivation to begin to attack the president or to attack the Uzbek government.
Martha Brill Olcott focuses on Uzbekistan for the Carnegie Endowment. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.